Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yot Ches Amud Beis, four lines above the wide lines, Mesnam Neim Yotzum. We learnt in the Mishnah, if someone is half asleep, he still can be Mekayim Mitzvah's Kriyas Megillah. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Mesnam Neim, exactly what does Mesnam Neim mean? Om Rav Ashi, Nim V'loi Nim, Tir V'loi Tir. He's asleep but not completely asleep, awake and not completely awake. So some Rishonim explain this to mean that he's not completely asleep and he's not completely awake. Others explain that nim v'loy nim means he's not completely asleep, refers to a person who just went to sleep, is about to fall asleep, but is not completely asleep yet. And tir v'loy tir is referring to the morning, when the person is waking up, but he's not yet completely up, and he is in a status of karalei v'ani. If he's called, he answers. However, he's not able to give a logical response. However, if he's reminded of something, he remembers. As the Rashbam explains, he's in a status that if we will ask him where is something placed, he will not necessarily be able to respond. But if we tell him, isn't this item kept in this place, he'll say, yes, exactly, that's where it belongs, he'll be able to remember. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there is a difference in halacha between a person who is reading the Megillah in this status of Mesnam Neim versus a person who hears the Megillah in the status of Mesnam Neim. The Mishnah Berurah says, when our Mishnah Gemara are teaching us that a Mesnam Neim as Yotze, Mitzvah Kriyas Megillah, it's only regarding being might see someone else is when he's reading it. But a person to hear the Megillah in such a status is obviously not awake enough and will probably miss words. And as we learned in the previous shiur, if one misses hearing certain words of the Megillah, he has not been Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Mishnah taught us, Hayu Kaisvay, one was writing the Megillah, or Darshay, he was explaining the Megillah. Or Megia, or he was correcting the Megillah, teaches us the Mishnah in Kivan Libay, if he had Kavana Yotze, and we explained what in Kivan Libay means when we learned the Mishnah. Hechidami, ask the Gemara exactly, what is the situation that the Mishnah is referring to? Either Kamasad, the Psukka Psukka, if the person is writing each Pasuk of the Megillah, the Kosovla, and he's writing it from memory, ask the Gemara, Kikivan Liboy Mayhavi, even if he had Kavona to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Apehu, he's saying the Megillah by heart. And we learned that reading the Megillah by heart is unacceptable. Ella, the Kasa Psuka Psuka, he's writing the Pasuk, and then he says it. The Karolai, and then he reads it. Ask the Gemara, Umi Yotza, if someone Yotza, under such circumstances, that the whole Megillah is not read. V'am Rav Chelba, Om Rav Chum Bagur Yom Rav, Halach G'divrei, Om Akula. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah, Ashayla, what is the minimum amount that has to be read of the Megillah? As the Rishonim explained, everybody agrees that L'chatchila, the entire Megillah has to be read. The Mishnah, the Gemara discuss, what is the minimum amount? Says the Gemara, Halach K'divrei Amakula. The halach is that you have to read the entire Megillah. V'afil Mandam is Shehudi, even the Mandam that says that to be Mekai Mitzvah's Kriyas Megillah. We can begin from the Pasuk of Yehudi, still Tzricha Shtei K'suva Kula. In order to be Mekai the Mitzvah, we have to have the entire Megillah in front of us. So if that's the situation, asks the Gemara, if he's writing the Megillah and he's expressing the words as he's writing it, he doesn't have a whole Megillah in front of him. If he doesn't have a whole Megillah in front of him, he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, the situation is the Mancha Megillah Kameh. He has a kosher Megillah in front of him. The Karvalei Minah Psuka Psuka. And he reads one Pasuk at a time from that Megillah. And then the Kosovla, and he writes it. So since he has the entire kosher Megillah in front of him, when he's reading it, that's why he's Mekayim the Mitzvah. Just it's not L'chatchila, because he's interrupting his reading with writing. Ask Rav Kiva Eiga. The Chavos Yor says a Chiddush, that even though in halacha we have a concept that hirur lav kedibur, that if one just thinks but doesn't articulate what he's thinking, he's not considered like he spoke. One of the areas where in halacha we find this concept is regarding the din that before one learns, he has to say Birchas HaTorah. But the halacha is that if he's just going to think Divrei Torah, not articulate those Divrei Torah, he doesn't have to say Birchas HaTorah. Says the Chavis Yor, however, that Ksivar is Kedibur. Writing has the same status as speaking. He says it regarding a shvua. If one writes a shvua, perhaps it's considered as if he's obligated. There's another area in halacha that, let's say, we know during the Sfiras HaOmer, every day of the Omer we have to count the Omer. Let's say one didn't say the Omer, he only wrote it. Perhaps according to the Chavis Yor, he's Mekayim Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. It's not considered that he missed a day. So the Shev Yaakov asks, in our Gemara, why does the Gemara have to explain that the case of the Mishnah is that he's writing, that he has a kosher Megillah in front of him, expresses each posik, and then writes it? Just writing should be enough. Ksiva Kedibur. So the Kiva Eger says that even if we hold Ksiva Kedibur, Hilchas Kriyas Megillah may be different. And he says for two reasons. One reason is the Gemara that the halacha we've been mentioning a number of times in the shiurim, that kara apeh lo yotza, reading the Megillah by heart is not acceptable. So just like kara apeh lo yotza, similarly ksiva is inadequate. Another halacha that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the next shiur on daf yotes amabeis is that the halacha is that reading the Megillah, it has to be Hishmiya la'oznoi. Not only must he read the Megillah, but he has to hear it. So since there we see, says Rekiv Eger, there are special dinim that were taught regarding Kriyas HaMegillah. Similarly, even if B'kol HaTorah Kula, Ksiva Kedibur, it will not be so by Kriyas Megillah. Says the Gemara, Leim Masailei L'Rabba B'Bachana. So we say that our Mishnah should now be a support to the rule that Rabbi B'Bachana taught us. Dom Rabbi B'Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Osa Lichtov Ois Achash L'Miksav. When one is writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzas, he has to make sure that every word that he writes, he has to be copying from a kosher Sefer Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzas. And that's why the case of our Mishnah is referring to such a situation where he's writing a Megillah, copying it from an existing Megillah. So the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a proof that that's what's required. Our Mishnah is referring to such a situation, but there is no indication that that's what the halacha requires, that when writing a Megillah, you have to have a kosher Megillah in front of you. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also lichtav ois achas shloimen iksav. When we're writing a Megillah, you can't write the new Megillah without having the other Megillah in front of you. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Amr Mishmin Alozor, Meisvei Ramei Shaholich L'Abish Shana Basya. Ramei once went to decide if a year is a leap year in the city of Asya. V'loi ha'yishah Megillah, and he arrived there on Purim, and in that city there was no Megillah, the cost of Malibai V'Kari. So he remembered the entire Megillah by heart, and he wrote a new Megillah. So we see that we don't have to have a Megillah in front of us when writing the Megillah. Amar Rebbe Vuos, Rebbe Vuos says, Shani Ramei. Ramei is different. The Mekaybe, the Pasuk says, Vafapecho Yashiru Nagdecha, your eyes should look straight in front of you. Torah is like our eyes. It's Vahara Einenu Besaira Secha. Amalei Mary Bechamel Rebbe Yimri Bedifta. And in Rebbe Yimri explains this, Mai Vafapecho Yashiru Nagdecha. It refers to the retira. If you close your eyes, it'll go. We have to constantly continue learning in order to remember our divrei Torah. Since Torah could easily be forgotten, but Rameya, who constantly was learning, did not forget his Torah. That's why he was a writer, right, a sefer Torah or Megillah by heart. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chisda Ashkechel Rav Chananu, Davikos Svarim Shloim Miksav. Rav Chisda met Rav Chananu, was writing Svarim from memory. Amalei, and he told him, Ruya kalatari kosav apicha. You attack a person that can write the entire Torah from memory. However, al kach amru chachamim, Chazal taught us, also lichtoiv ois acha shlem niksav. It's prohibited to write even one letter of a sefer, not from another sefer. Midakama, so explains the Gemara, if he said regarding Reb Chananel, then kol Torah kula ruish tikasva picha, that the entire Torah could be written by you, obviously, mechlal demisharm hetzloi. He was a person that had the entire Torah in front of him. And yet he was telling him, you're not supposed to write Torah that way. And yet, how Rameya Kosev, did Rameya write a Megillah from memory? Answers the Gemara, Shasat Chakshani. Of course, normally, Megillah, even by a person that knows the entire Torah by heart, should not be written from memory. Rather, it should be written from another Megillah. But Rameya was in a situation where there was no kosher Megillah available. And he wanted to read the Megillah, it's Purim. Given that he had no other option, that's why he wrote the Megillah that way. The Sfas Emes makes an interesting observation. He says that the Gemara could have taught us that he wrote one Megillah, and the first Megillah that he wrote from memory would not be a kosher Megillah, because the halacha is that a Megillah should not be written from memory, and then let him write a second Megillah from the first Megillah, and that second Megillah should be a kosher Megillah. From the fact, says the Sfas Emes, that our Gemara does not give this answer, it seems to indicate that the Sefer, whether it's a Megillah or a Sefer Torah, from which one is copying to write, he should be careful, should also be a kosher Sefer. And if the first Megillah Ramei would have written was from memory, he wouldn't have accomplished that, because it wouldn't be a kosher Megillah. Abaye shal lebei bar hava. Abaye allowed the people in Bei Bar Hava lemichta tefillin umezuzah shlem niksav, to write tefillin and mezuzahs from memory. Kaman, ask the Gemara, whose opinion is this? Says the Gemara, kahay tana. The Tanya of Yirmiyah oim mishum rabbeinu. Tefillin and mezuzahs nichtava shlem niksav, both tefillin and mezuzahs can be written from memory. Vein tzricha sirtet. And as we've been learning, the Megillah requires lines be etched out. They don't require that. However, the halach is tefillin ain't tzrich inserted. Tefillin don't need the etched lines. Mezuzas tzrich inserted. Idi v'idi. But both tefillin and mezuzas nechtav v'shleim neksav can be written not from a text. They can be written from memory. My tama migris grisin, because the parashias of the tefillin and mezuzas are parashias that we're so accustomed to. Therefore, the halacha is that we could write them from memory. We're not concerned that the person is going to write them incorrectly. Even though the Gemara is saying that tefillin doesn't require sirtut, and the Rishonim explained the why a tefillin not requiring sirtut, because since the parshas of the tefillin are always enclosed in their boxes, so they're not visible, so we're not that specific on how they should be written, still says Rabbeinu Tam that the top line is of the tefillin does require sirtut, and Ramah teaches us, Paskin Link to Rabbeinu Tam, that not only should the top line have sirtut, but also the side and the bottom of the parchment should also require sirtut. The Paiskim also say that if a sefer feels that he will not be able to write the tefillin in a straight without sirtut, he should make lines for all of the lines of the tefillin. The Mefarshim ask another question. Even though the Gemara is teaching us that tefillin don't require sirtut by halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, they ask that the halacha is that whenever divrei Torah are written, the halacha is that they require sirtut. So the tefillin should require sirtut because of that rule. So some Rishonim answer that the only time Divrei Torah require, if they're written, if you write a pasuk, is sirtut required, if you're not writing it in the place where it belongs. But if one is writing a parasha of tefillin, which that's the point of the parasha of tefillin, that it should be a parasha of Divrei Torah, there is no specific chiyuv for sirtut, only if there's Aloch L'mosh M'Sinai, or only if the sefer is going to write it in a nicer fashion. So now the question comes up, If so, that we're learning that whenever a pasuk of Divrei Torah is written, we have to underline it, we have to make certit. Why, when we write Divrei Torah sometimes in a letter, or we find sometimes imitations have a pasuk on them, we don't make certit? So the Rishonim explain that certit is required only if a pasuk is going to be written and then be explained, expounded on. But if we're just writing a pasuk for melitza, writing a pasuk for identification, what week of the is going to be Parshas HaShavuah or something like that, then sirtut is not going to be required. The Mefarshim also discuss the halacha is that when one writes, certainly tefillin, Sefer Torah or Megillah, he has to have a Sefer Torah or Megillah in front of him to copy from. And the Magen Avraham says, L'chatchila, it's not just that he should have that Sefer Torah or the Megillah in front of him, he should actually articulate the words before he writes the Megillah, before he writes the Sefer Torah, that he's copying from the written, from the Sefer Torah or Megillah that's in front of him. But there's an interesting shaila. How should he pronounce those words? Should he pronounce them as the kri, as the words are read, or should he pronounce them as the words are ksiv, are written? So most Paiskim say, certainly he should pronounce them the way they're written, because if he's going to pronounce them the way they're read, he may come to spell it the wrong way in the Sefer Torah or the Megillah he's writing. But they point out from our Gemara, it's clear that even if he pronounces the words as they're pronounced, not as they're written, it's also acceptable. Because our Gemara says that this is an acceptable way of being Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriyas Megillah. If he's not pronouncing the words properly, how is he Mekayim the Mitzvah? So we see that even if he pronounces them as they're pronounced, not as they're written, it's acceptable. We learned in the Mishnah, Hoysuk Suv Sam, if the Megillah is written with Sam. What is Sam? Says the Gemara, Sam, it's some sort of a ink. Sikra, Omer Rabba Babachana, Sikorta Shema. Sakra Sikorta. Kumas is Kuma, sap from a tree. Kankaktam is Chara de Ushkafi. It's the dye that the shoemakers use to make the shoes black. Diftera. Diftera is an unfinished parchment. The Meliach, the Kamiach, it was salted and treated with a mixture of flour and water. Veloy Ofetz. However, it was not treated with gall nuts. Nayer is machpur, it's paper. Achei teiksuva ashuris, the Megillah l'chatchila should be written in Hebrew. The ksiv, because the pasuk says, k'ksavam u'kuzmanam, the way it was then written, and the Megillah was written in ashuris. Then we learned in the Mishnah that this Megillah should be written on sefer, on parchment, ubediyoy, with ink. Menolon, how do we know that this halacha is required? Answers the Gemara, Asya Ksiva Ksiva. We learn Exereshava the word Ksiva Ksiva. Ksiv Hacha, it says here in the Megillah, V'tichtoiv Esther Hamalka, V'ksiv Hasam, and it says in the Pasuk, V'yoyim Lehem Baruch, Yirmiyo was dictating to Baruch what to write. And he writes, Mipoiv Yikore Eli. From his mouth he dictated to me, as kol advar me'elu, all these words, v'ani kosev ala sefer b'diyoy, I wrote them on parchment with ink. Ask the Brisker Rav, why does the Gemara have to give us a special limit that a Megillah has to be written ala sefer b'diyoy? The Megillah is one of the Sifrei Tanakh, and to be a kosher Tanakh, it has to be written on parchment and ink. Why is then a need for special halacha? Says the Brisker Rav that in the Megillah there are two halachas. There's one halacha that it has to be read, and there's another halacha that the Megillah is a sefer kodesh. So since there are two separate halachas, and he quotes the Gemara that we learned on Daf Zayin, the Megillah's Esther mitamas yadayim. Why would he think it's not Matamas Yadayim? So we see that there's two separate dinim. So perhaps I would think that in order to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriyas Megillah, I don't have to have that the Megillah should be written with all of the requirements of a Sefer. That's what our Gemara comes to teach us, that to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriyas Megillah, we have to have the Megillah written ala Sefer Ubediyoy. There's another shaila that the Pais can discuss, and that is, may a Megillah be written by a woman? We know, Taisus Mesech the Gittin teaches us, that women cannot write tefillin, because since the Pasuk says, Ukshartem Uksaftem, only those who are obligated to wear tefillin are obligated, may write the tefillin. Women, we know, are part of for mitzvah tefillin, so therefore they're not qualified to write tefillin. But the Paiskim discuss, what about the Megillah? As we know, women are obligated to hear mitzvahs, to hear Kriyas Megillah. So if they're obligated to hear the Megillah, perhaps they're also obligated, they also may write the Megillah. And the fact that the Prima Gadim holds that a woman may write the Megillah. However, and the Kesis HaSeifer wants to bring a raya, wants to bring a proof to that Prima Gadim from our Gemara, because the Gemara just quoted the pasuk that says V'tichtav Esther Hamalka. So we see that Esther was the one that wrote the Megillah. However, the Meraimei Sada, the Mekrai Kodesh, proves that our Gemara, that's not a raya. He says the halacha is that a woman may not be a moil, because again, since women aren't obligated in the mitzvah bris milah, they can't make a bris milah for someone else. Yet the pasuk says, "V'tikach tzipayra tzror, v'tichrois es arlas pana." That, and if we read the pasuk, it seems that Tzipayra made the bris milah on Eliezer, but we just said a woman is not qualified to make a bris milah. The explanation, says the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, is not that Tzipayra actually did the bris milah. She instructed someone else to do the bris milah. She made sure it was done. Similarly, says the Mekrai Kodesh, when the pasuk says in the Megillah, "V'tichtoiv Esther Hamalka," it doesn't necessarily mean that Esther Hamalka wrote the Megillah. She made sure that it got written. Teaches us the Mishnah, Ben Ir Shaholach L'Krach. If somebody who, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, somebody who lives in an unwalled city reads the Megillah on your dollar order. Somebody who lives in a city that's walled, Mimais Yishuv Benun, reads the Megillah on Tezvav Adar. The example we use in explaining our Mishnah are Bnei Barak and Yerushalayim. Bnei Barak, they read the Megillah on Yudalar Adar. In Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah on Tezvav Adar. So somebody who lives, Ben Ir, somebody who lives in a city that doesn't have a wall, Shaholach L'Krach, that went to Yerushalayim, or Ben Krach, to somebody from Yerushalayim, Shaholach L'Ir, went to Bnei Barak, is the halacha. And Osir Lachsel M'Kaimai, if he's going to return to where he lives, Kairikim Kaimai, he reads the Megillah as where his regular place of residence is. Lav, he's not going to return to the place where he lives. Kari Imam, he reads together with the people where he is. So, to understand the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is saying is that let's say someone who reads on your Tezvav is in place that reads on your Dalit. If he intends to stay there for your Dalit, and the Gemara will teach us your Dalit in the morning, if he intends to be there by the time of Alois HaShakar, he's mechuyev to read the Megillah on Yudalit. If he doesn't intend to be there by Yudalit in the morning, then he reads like where he comes from on Tezvav. Now the question is, what is the defining moment? The Mishnah Berurah seems to say he has to be there at the beginning of Purim when Yudalit begins, and has to intend to remain there until Alois HaShachar of Yudalit. And then he will have to read on Yudalit. What happens, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if he comes after Yudalit began? He comes in the middle of the night, then he won't be obligated to read the Megillah. Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish says that if he's there by Alois HaShachar, even though he wasn't there at the beginning of Yudalit, he's mechuyev to read the Megillah on Yudalit if he intends to remain there after Alois HaShachar. Now there's another question. Machloikus Rishonim. We have a person who comes from a place that reads the Megillah on Yudalit, but he finds himself in on Yudalid in a place that reads the Megillah on Tezvov, and he intends to remain there, and he remains there on Yudalid in the morning. What is his obligation? Is his obligation that since he was in this town from the beginning of Yudalid till daybreak of Yudalid, he now has an obligation to read the Megillah on Tezvov? That's how some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim say an obligation to read the Megillah on Tezvov cannot come from Yudalid. The obligation to read on Tezvov can only begin on Tezvov. What will be the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina between these two approaches will be if the person will not be in the area of Tezvov on Tezvov. That means he was in Yerushalayim. Let's say he's a person from Bnei Brak, and he was in Yerushalayim on Yudalid, but he will not be in Yerushalayim on Tezvov. Before Tezvov comes, he leaves Yerushalayim. Does he still have an obligation to read on Tezvov? Because since on Yudalid he was in Yerushalayim, he now has an obligation to read on Tezvov. Or do we say that you have to be in Yerushalayim on Tezvov to be obligated to read the Megillah on Tezvov? The Turi Evin discusses a different question. Here we are dealing with a situation that sometimes people could be in a city but not be obligated to read together with the other people of the city. That means if he intends to leave before Yudalid in the morning, he doesn't have to read the Megillah Yudalid in the morning, or vice versa. So now the question is, let's say he's in a place, there's Tezvov, but he intends to leave before Tezvov in the morning, he's certainly not obligated to read on Tezvov. So now the question is, how can we have a situation that some people read the Megillah and some people don't read the Megillah in the same place? In other words, let's give an example. The example we're giving is, let's say we have a person from a walled city, from Yerushalayim, who's in Bnei Barak on Yudalid, but before Yudalid in the morning, he's going back, so he won't read the Megillah. Isn't this a situation, as the Turi Evin, of Loisus Goydadu? Are people not acting in the same way that Loch is Loisus Goydadu? Loisasa Agudas Agudas. Says the Turi Evin, the only time we have a situation of Loisus Goydadu is where people have a machloikis. For example, tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So some people, the person who holds you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, holds that the person who's not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed is doing something wrong. And the same vice versa. The person who holds you're not supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed says the person who's wearing tefillin is doing something wrong. So here we have a situation of lois is going to do. But here we're not dealing with as a machloikis. We're following the din. And when we follow the din, there is no concept of lois is going to do. There's another shaila. What would be the halacha if someone is in Yudalid? At the beginning of Yudalid, he's in this place where they read the Megillah on Yudalid. And not only that, he stays there till after the morning. He's certainly mechuyev to read the Megillah on Yudalid. But now, he was in Bnei Barak on Yudalid. But now, before Tezvah begins, he travels to Yerushalayim, and he's there at the beginning of Tezvav, and again he intends to remain there for the entire night of Tezvav past daybreak. What is his halacha? Do we say that he has two obligations to read the Megillah? He has a chiv to read the Megillah on Yudalid, and he has a chiv to read the Megillah Tezvav? Or do we say that once he was mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah on Yudalid, you don't have to read the Megillah twice, and he doesn't have to read the Megillah again on Tezvav? It's an interesting machlokes. Certainly, such a person, lahalocha, should hear the Megillah on Tezvav, but he should not be the Balkoire making brachas. Now the Mishnah will discuss, do we have to read the entire Megillah? From where does one have to read the Megillah? You have to read the entire Megillah. Yehudi, you have to read from Yehudi. From the words Achad Var Me'ela, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Omer Rava, Loi Shanu, this that we had, that if somebody's going to go back to the city, go back to the walled city, he doesn't have to read the Megillah on Yudalid, as Loi Shanu Elish Osid Lachs of Alel Yudalad, that intends to go back on the night of Yudalad. Aval Ein Osid Lachs of Alel Abasar, if he doesn't intend to go back to his walled city on the night of Abba Osir, Kari Moim, even though he doesn't live in that city, he has to read with, together with the other people on the 14th. Omer Rava, Mano Aminalo, from where do I know this? The Ksiv. Alken Yehudim HaProzim, Hayoshim V'Oyer HaProzim. The people who live in the unwalled towns. Michti, Ksiv HaYehudim HaProzim. The Pasuk already says that we're referring to Jews who live in cities without walls. Lomli L'michtav HaYoshim V'Oyer HaProzim. Why does the Pasuk have to again repeat? People who are living in cities without walls. HaKamashmon, we're learning from here, the Paras Ben Yoimoy Nikra Paras. That even if he's in the city for one day, he's considered a resident of the city. Ask the Gemara, Ashkham Paras. From here we see that if somebody's in this unwalled city even for only one day, he's considered a resident of that town. Mukaf Menolon, from where do we see that if somebody's a resident of a walled city just for one day, he's considered a resident of that town? Answers the Gemara, Svaru. It makes sense to say that. Mid Paras Ben Yoimai, Kari Paras, if somebody who lives in an unwalled city for one day is considered a member of the city, similarly, Mukaf Ben Yoimai, Kari Mukaf. So the Turi Evan and the Chassam Sofer all point out that the Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra points out that a person is not considered a citizen, a resident of a city, unless he's there 30 days. It's relevant regarding Hilchos Mezuzah, it's regarding when he has to participate in different actions of the city. Why here, points out the Turi Evan, is the halacha that as soon as somebody is in a town, one day, he's already considered a resident of that town. So I saw a gewaldig pshat for the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, as we know, why was Purim established on Yudalad and Tezvav? Because the people who lived in Shushan were given an extra day to hold battle with their enemy. Says the Chassam Sofer, what would have been in the time when Purim was originally established if somebody who did not live in Shushan found himself in Shushan on Tezvav? Would he not have joined together with his brethren in doing battle against our enemies, even though he's only here for a day, even though he's only here for a visitor? See, says the Chassam Sofer, so we see that back to when the Megillah was established, we saw this concept that if you're there just for one day, you're considered a member of the city. That's why we continue this concept even now. V'amirava, ben kfar shalach l'ir, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the people who lived in the villages were allowed to read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Yudalad Adar. Says the Gemara, if somebody who lives in a village and finds himself in a city on Yudalad Adar, benkach or benkach, whether he's remaining on the town or not remaining in the town, kari imayim, he's obligated to read the Megillah on Yudalad Adar. My tama, why? Says the Gemara. Actually, there were only two dates that were established for Kriyas Megillah. Yudalad Adar and Tezvav Adar. So this person should really be reading the Megillah on Yudalad Adar. V'Rabbanan Huda Kila Kfarim, it's Chazal that allowed people who live in the villages to read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday prior to Yudalad Adar, today she is sapku mayim u'mozim l'chaim shebekrochem, so that it should be available to supply food and water to the people that live in the towns. The people from the villages brought the food to the people in the towns. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, when was this said? Ki sibeduchtei, when he's going to remain in his place, in his village on the 14th. Avol ki sibeir, he's anyway not going to be in the village on the 14th. He's going to be in the town. So he's not going to be in the position of supplying water and food to the members of the city. So he has to read the Megillah, kibnei ir b'ayla mikri, like all the other members of the city on Yudalat Adar. Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya and Rava from a braisa. It says in a braisa, ben krach sholach l'ir, if somebody from a city went to a unwalled city, benkach or benkach, no matter what, kari mekaymai. Ask the Gemara, benkrach sakadaitach, is that what the Bryce is saying? There's somebody who lives in a walled city, he always reads the Megillah, no matter what, according to where he lives. Didn't we just learn in the Mishnah that depends what his intentions are as day breaks on your Dalet? And the Rambam takes it a step further. We don't just look at daybreak. The Rambam says, let's say daybreak is at 6 o'clock. It's not just 6 o'clock. We also have to look at the amount of time it takes to read the Megillah. So let's say it takes a half an hour to read the Megillah. It's not just that we look where he intends to be at 6 o'clock. We have to look till 6:30. But bottom line is, it isn't just depending on where he lives. Elalaf, how must we explain this Bryce is referring to Ben Kfar, to a person from a village? And says Abaye that this Bryce is teaching us that somebody from a village always reads the Megillah according to where he lives in the village, not according to the city, if he happens to find himself in the city on Yud Dalet Adar. Says the Gemara, V'lav Terutz D'Matarets. Didn't we have to change the wording of this Braisa? The Braisa began with the words Ben Krach, and we changed it to say that it means Ben Kfar. Similarly, we'll change the second part of the Braisa, not to say Kairikim Kaimai, that reads the Megillah as in the place of his residence. Rather, we'll change it to Ni Kairimayim, that reads the Megillah according to the halacha of the people of the town where he is. So we learned in the Mishnah, Mehechi Kair Adamas Megillah. From where does one have to read the Megillah? Tanya, Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, Mimbelai Lahu. Rav Shimon Yochai has a fourth opinion. We begin reading the Megillah from the words Balai Lahu. Omer Rav Yochan. So we have now four opinions. What is the minimum amount from where we have to read the Megillah? It says the Gemara, V'kulon Mikra Echa Darshu. They all learned from the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'tichtov Esther Amalka Umartcha Yehudi as Kol Toikiv." All of the powerful nisim that happened. Mandama Kula Toikiv Shel Achashverosh. The power of Achashverosh, which begins from the beginning of the Megillah, where Achashverosh's kingdom is described. Mandam Mish Yehudi, we speak to Toikiv Shel Martcha. The power of Martcha. That's what we speak. Ish Yehudi Hay B'Shushan Abriro. Mandam Ma'achad Varma Elo. We speak about the power Gidl HaMelech as Haman. We speak about the power of Haman. Umanda Omar, Mevilailahu, Taikfa Shalnais, we speak about that's where the Nais began, as we explained earlier, that's when the king couldn't sleep, and they brought the Sefer Zikaron, where Madcha's act of Chesed is described. So Rein Yaakov explains that everybody has a different perspective on the Megillah. The Manda Omar that holds that we begin from the beginning of the Megillah shows that even though Achashverosh was such a powerful king, and he had made a decree against the Jews, he changed his mind. The one that says that we speak about Mordechai is to show that even though we had Mordechai, who was such a great tzaddik, and he was Yoshev Bashar HaMelech, he had a powerful position in the government. When Klal Yisrael did Averis, all of that didn't help, and they were subject to such a terrible decree. The Mandam that says we read from Haman, to show us that even though Haman was such a powerful person, and his hatred for Klal Yisrael was so deep, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still saved us. And the mandamin that holds that we start from Balai Lahu, that shows us the Nais, it shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was a Nais, as the Mefarshim explained in Teva, it wasn't a Nais that was so obvious, to show us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Rav Huna Mehocha, Maroa Kocho Magi Aleyam, Mandama Kula, as we learned early in the Masechta, Achashverosh began using the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. Akocha mishum dechoshev shim shon of Laifrik. He knew that the Navi had said that we would be redeemed from Golus after 70 years, and he had made a calculation that the 70 years had passed and we were not yet saved. What happened? The Kotel Vashti, the Vashti was killed. The Chasam Sofer makes an observation. Even though we, as we learn the Megillah, know that Vashti was killed, and then Esther was named to replace her, says the Chasam Sofer, it doesn't say anywhere in the Megillah explicitly that Vashti was killed. It's only understood from Midrashim, because she was replaced, that his anger calmed down, but it doesn't say anywhere explicitly that she was killed. Mandam ish Yehudi, my raw Mordechai dikni behuman. Why did Mordechai provoke common akacha to shava nafsha avodah zara, because he treated himself like avodah zara magi elayim, and what happened, the srach shnisha, the wonderful nes happened. Madam macha dvarma elo ma ra haman shneskanim kol yehudi. Why did Haman want to take revenge from all the Jews? Akacha. Mordechai refused to bow, and what was the end of Haman? He and his children hung on a tree. The Trumas Hadeshin seems to point out from here that, let's say there's someone wearing a tzelem, are you allowed to bow down to him? So the subsefer Trumas Hadeshin say from here now Gemara, we see that you may, because the Gemara says that Mordechai did something extraordinary, that he refused to bow down to Haman. If the halacha is that Haman, who was wearing a tzelem around his neck, you're not allowed to bow down to, so why was what Mordechai do extraordinary, and why didn't everybody else do the same? So we see that this is a halacha that if he's wearing a tzelem, but your intention is not to bow down to the tzelem, your intention is to bow down to the person, there is no iser. Why did Achashverosh all of a sudden that night ask for the history books? Al kocha, dezamnete Esther l'Haman b'day, because Esther had invited Haman to come to the meal, and that's when Achashverosh started being concerned that perhaps Esther and Haman were plotting against him. And that's when he realized who Mordechai was, and the srach shnisha and the nis began. The loch is like the man d'omer that we have to read the entire Megillah. But fill a man d'omer mish Yehudi, even according to the man d'omer that we only have to read from mish Yehudi, tzorch shteik suvakula, the entire Megillah has to be written. And this is similar to the vart that we said from the Brisker Rav, because there are two dinim. There's a din in Kriyas Megillah, and perhaps to Mekayim mitzvahs Kriyas Megillah, we don't have to read it from the beginning of Megillah. Other places we can Mekayim, but that should be considered a kosher Megillah, it has to be suvakula. Megillah Nekra Sefer. One time, some places we find Megillah is called a scroll. Nekaris Agaris is called a letter. Nekra Sefer, it's called a Sefer, to teach us Shem Tofra B'chutei Pishtin, that if we sew it together with linen threads, Psula, it has to be sewn together like a Sefer Torah with threads from an animal. Nekra Agaris, Shem Hita B'shlusha Chitin, Gidin, if we put in three threads, Ksheira. Amr of Nachman, Ovat Sheim Shaloshim. They have to be trisected. So the Machlaikis, we shine him, what does that mean? Rashi seems to learn that the first stitch has to be done about a quarter on the way down to the parchment, and each of the three stitches cover one third of the parchment remaining length. By doing this, the distance between the top of the parchment and the first stitch, as well as the distances between the stitches themselves, would all be equal. That's a Rashi with Tosfos explanation. Other Rishonim explain that what it means is that it has to have a stitch on top, a stitch in middle, and a stitch on bottom. The Rambam holds that it has to have 11 stitches, 3 on top, 3 in middle, and 3 on bottom, and 1 between each of these stitches, and therefore there are mandom that say we should make stitches all the way down. The Ritva says, how do we know what it means, Nekras Igeris in the Gara Sefer? When is it a Sefer, when is it Igeris? So says the Ritva that items, halachas that reply to the actual writing, sirtut, the ink, like that it has a din of a Sefer. But things that aren't applicable to the actual Sefer, just regarding not the scroll itself, there it's called an Igeris, that's why it may be written in sitting, and that's why the Megillah is folded up like a letter, not like a scroll when we read it. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Hakar Megillah Ksuvim Ben Ksuvim, and one reads a Megillah that's written between the other Ksuvim, Lo Yotzo. It's only if it's not somewhat shorter or longer than the rest of the sefer. Ava mechaser miyaster reporta. If it's shorter or longer a little, so it's obvious that it's a megillah, less lamba. Levi bashmul habakari made the Rav Yehuda b'megillah. Haksuva ben ksuvim. He was reading from Megillah that was amongst the other Megillahs. Amalei Arai, Amru, Hakari Megillah, Haksuva ben ksuvim la yotza. Then we just learned that if it's between the other ksuvim, it's unacceptable. Amr Chiba Abba, Amr Yochanan. Similarly, Hakari Megillah, Haksuva ben ksuvim la yotza. Amachalai b'marcha, but he hit it on the head, he qualified it, but Tzibur Shanu. So as the Mefarshim explained, the Sfasemis explains. When the Megillah is being read, but Tzibur, so we have a concept of Prasumei Nisa. So in order to accomplish Prasumei Nisa, we have to be careful that the Megillah should be noticeable, that it's not just one of the other Ksuvim. But if one is reading the Megillah B'Yechidus, so he's anyway not accomplishing the concept of Prasumei Nisa, and there the Megillah could be written together with the other Ksuvim. V'am Rav Chibar Abba Rav Yochanan, Shir Atfal, an obligation to leave a margin on top and below the stitches of a Sefer Torah is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Or machaloi amoichoi, but they hit it on the head, they qualified this. The only reason is that we have to leave a margin is that it shouldn't get ripped. Because if the entire length of the parchment was sewn together, the seam would tear when someone rolls the scroll too tightly. However, with the space left at the top and the bottom, one will notice if he's rolling the scroll too tightly, because the sections will begin to separate. If there was an opening in the cave where Moshe and Eliyahu were, the size, the tip of a needle, we could not stand between the from the brilliant light of the Shechina. Shnemar, klayurani odam v'chay. The pasuk says regarding the luchos, the lame call it varim ashadiba Hashem imochem bahar. Melamed shara Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe the dukei Torah, the various interpretations of the Torah, the dukei soifrim, what Chazal will establish in future generations, or mashes because the way they understood the Torah, or mashes soifrim asidim lchadish. The way the Mefarshim explained the dukei soifrim are halachas that were established to protect the dinim of the Torah, a sidim l'chadish, a new dinim that don't have a basis in the Torah, just Chazal saw fit to make such a rule. What is the example? Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is not here to protect something that's midaraisa. It's just here to establish the new halacha that we have halacha, Purim, and Megillah.